Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, Happy New Year, Nicole. How are you?
Happy New Year, Cindy.
It feels good to be back on air, our first show of, of the new decade, 2020.
Yes,
which
it's been a while now.
Yeah, we did have a little time off, and 2020 is supposed to be a year of clear vision for those people who have been seeking such. So I think it's going to be a great year. I'm very excited about it. And, you know, of course, I missed being on the air, and I could see people missed us. We have a lot of listeners tonight, so that's great. You know, I'm always a little worried that we might lose our audience, you know?
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, we've been on for so long, you know, we've got a lot of loyal people out there, so welcome to 2020, everybody. Thank you for continuing to listen.
And I just wanted to say my condolences to Karen, whose brother did pass away, and you know, we're so sorry to hear that, and I know it was before the holidays, and that makes it a double whammy, but he seems to have made a smooth transition, and he seems to be accepting what he can't change, which I'm glad to hear, because I knew he really didn't want to go. He was very young. He was only in his 30s, so he can understand that. So just letting Karen know he's with his with their dad, and he's taking very good care of his son. So, and we just love Karen with all our heart.
Yes, we do.
Now, we have a lot of listeners, and can you just tell them what they want to do if they want to talk to us? Because some people might be new to our show.
Yes, of course, of course. All right, so welcome to 2020. Like I said before, guys, Cindy and I are happy to be back with you yet again. And if you would like to speak to either one of us this evening, please press the number one so that we know to screen you and to put you into the calling queue. So as usual, I do not screen the first caller. We just kind of hope and pray that that person is going to be somewhat sane so that we don't have to, you know, boot you off. But so I'm going to go to the first caller, Cindy, if that's okay with you. Get this underway.
Oh,
you have a lot of
and I did want to say one
little
thing.
That are trying to get through today. Yep.
And I want to say one thing before we start. It is the 9th anniversary of my father's death, January 2nd. He made sure he didn't die on Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving, although he was dying from around November 22nd on. So I just wanted to be a little bit let that known, and maybe this show is a little bit in his memory tonight.
Awesome.
So here we have the first listener, and you can kind of get them.
Yeah, I'm going to get them all squared away. They've been waiting the longest. That's why we're going to go straight away to them. And then I'm going to jump into the chat room, and I'm going to screen you a few more callers, Cindy. So here we go.
Perfect.
Just so you know that we're talking to you. The last four digits of your phone number are 7374. So who is waiting for us there? Hello, you are on the air, 7374.
Yes, my name is Yuba. I've called a couple of years ago, and I hope Cindy can see the future or help me out because I'm in a bad way. I got divorced about 3 years ago. I was dating another gentleman who wasn't ready for commitment. We just broke up, and I was living with my son for 4 years, and now I'm back in Florida. So I just want to know what she has.
Well, that's a lot of change, and I can understand why you might be having some anxiety. You know, any one of those stressors would be enough to put anybody off the deep end. And, you know, I could see with the guy that went and commit, he's still showing up in these cards. I wouldn't be surprised if you hear from him in the future. But it's kind of best to let go of people who won't commit to us if commitment is what you're looking for. Because you must figure it out by now. You're not fixing people or changing them. Have you figured that out now?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. And, you know, normally the man who's brought after we divorce is usually what I call a transition soulmate, because they end up having more traits of our ex than we might want to think about. You know, a little bit manipulative, judgmental, not always accountable. So I think you've kind of closed the door on people that can't be fixed or changed. Did you learn that now at this point? Like you're not.
Definitely. Yes,
okay.
I did.
Okay, because sometimes we don't fully learn the lessons even though we divorce because, you know, if you've been long-term married, you know, you've been so long in that, like, vortex that it's hard to see the lessons, all of them, that you should have learned. And then the next man who comes along really helps to clarify them. So he's still showing up. I wouldn't be, again, I said, I'm not surprised if he, you know, tries to call you in a month or two and, you know, see if he can still wheedle his way back in your life. But, you know, I don't see him wanting to commit anytime soon. So that would be sort of a waste of your time. Now you're back in Florida and 2020 looks like this is supposed to be a peaceful and joyful year for you. You have another soulmate being brought in alignment with you. Would you want that now, to have love in your life?
Just as long as they're faithful and they're ready to help me and I'll help them, I want a relationship.
Right. And that's why, you know, start it from the beginning stating what you're looking for. Don't, you know, like after a few dates, if they want to keep seeing you, just let them know you're really looking for a committed relationship. So you don't waste time with people who, you know, 6 months, a year, and you find out, no, they really don't want commitment. So this man that's coming looks very loving, very kind. You know, how are you liking Florida? Was it your decision to go back there?
No. My son and I went out there to help him with my grandchildren. He needed it with my youngest grandson. And then towards the end, my son and Ed, we had words, and he said some vile things to me, and it was like being in an abusive relationship all over again. I had to leave.
Okay, and we keep learning the same lessons over and over again, and the hardest lesson is to learn from a child who might have traits of an unfixable, which means, you know, your son sounds pretty manipulative. He's probably judgmental. He's not accountable, and you know, unfortunately, it's a hard lesson to learn. But remember, you went there to help him. That's called, you know, part of the dysfunctional triangle called rescue a, persecute a victim. You got to watch out for, because you went in there to rescue him or help him with his child. And notice how it ended up with him persecuting you, calling you names, and you feeling victimized. So we have to kind of step outside of rescuing people, because it gets us in that dysfunctional triangle. It looks like in the future some peace can be made with your son, but, you know, it's kind of a sad trait about American kids. I make most of my money on parents 60, 70, 80, and 90 who come here, you know, really upset, because if they have four kids, two aren't talking to them. If they have two kids, one isn't talking to them. And they were actually very good parents. I think we tried to be too good. And in some ways, they're blaming us for divorcing and things that we did. But meanwhile, it's what everybody wanted to do for a million years. But with your son, it looks to me like he's got a lot of his own problems right now. And
yes,
it's probably best that you are have a little bit of distance from him at this point and kind of, you know, build your own life. And, you know, in the future, if he calls and needs rescuing, try not to do it, you know, because it's best if you keep a little bit of distance from him. It must have felt like you seeing a ghost, because he does have some traits of his father, sadly. Did you see that for yourself?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you didn't stick around and take abuse, because you didn't go through a divorce, that whole emotional, psychological, financial nightmare. just to be put in another abusive situation. So you kind of learn what you didn't learn from your husband, but you didn't learn from your most recent ex. You might be learning from your son. Just pay attention to those traits of people manipulate, not accountable, and highly judgmental. You're not going to really change them or fix them. You kind of have to yes them to death, keep them at distance, because they're the kinds of people we miss when they're far away, but when they're near, we wish they were far away, because they're not easy to deal with, okay? And you know what I'm talking about, you know? So it's kind of, you know, be there. He's your son, and, you know, we as parents, you know, are always with our prodigal sons and daughters back into our life. But that's why you have earned the right to be with a soulmate, someone you love heart, soul, mind, and body. And he's a very good man. Okay, and wouldn't that be nice? Two good people together is great. Stay away from the narcissist, because commitment phobics are always narcissists, because it's always about them. It's never about the other person. And with this man, he's going to talk a lot of we and us, not me, 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 me. And you can, you know, you can expect it sooner than later. Are you trying to meet some people where you are in Florida?
Not right now. Right now, I'm just concentrating on myself. I haven't even unpacked since I've been here. I figured I could sleep as long as I want. I can eat whenever I want. So right now, it's just I'm being very selfish. It's me.
No, you're being
so
self-love. Let's call it self-love. And being a lover to yourself. I mean, you ran there to help your son, and it turned out to be not great. And you're coming to a place of self-love and put yourself first a little bit. And it's actually really good to stand on your own two feet without a man for, like, at least 6 months, where you learn to, you know, stand emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually on your own two feet. And then the prince will come. But once, you know, get settled in, figure out how you're going to meet some people, and, you know, make some new friends and kind of make Florida your home. Are you do you want to stay in Florida for a while?
Yes, I do. It'll be till death to why.
Right.
I'll be here forever.
Okay, so make it your home, and there's nothing bad in your cards. Did your son apologize to you at all yet?
Yes, he did. He apologized basically the next day, but he was drunk. So he said some very, very vile things. He did apologize the next day, but it was just very hurtful. I never knew that he felt that way.
Right. And again, it looks to me like he's depressed, and you can't be depressed and angry at the same time. And you usually, you know, cellmate love or toxic love, which he saw with your husband and you at times, and cellmate love, no matter whether it's between a parent and a child, or a lover or friends, you know, it kind of like the person has anger issues, and he tried to rage with you behind closed doors and then look normal in the outside world. So look at it that he's got his own anger issues and things to work on. And, you know, try not to take it so personally, because it looks to me like a lot of things, I mean, there might be slight truth in the things he was saying, but it looks more like he was just sort of being an ugly person and mean at the moment. So, you know, but just once people have done that to us, it kind of makes us, you know, keep them a little bit at arm's length. And I think you made it clear that that behavior is not acceptable, too.
Yes, you know, I did. We're still talking. And whatnot, and I have two other children that are, you know, they want to be in my life, and I talk to them, and even my grandchildren, I have six of them, and, you know, we communicate.
Good. And just keep it that way, and, you know, if our children have seen our spouses be abusive to us, it's something they learn, and it's sad. Because that's sort of where they learn how to talk to us that way. But in making it clear to him that, like, when you left, you made it clear that you're not going to tolerate that. And that was good, because he needs to learn that you love him more than anyone, but that kind of behavior is not acceptable. So So look at it, you know, what you did out of self-love and self-preservation also taught him something very important. So, you know, this, once you did that, once you said, I am not going to be abused by anyone anymore, you've closed the door on the unfixables. That's what the universe hears. They hear you saying, I don't want this anymore. It's not acceptable. And that's when the universe starts bringing genuinely good people into our lives. So just expect, you know, 2020 to be a good year. And love yourself, you know, like spoil yourself a little bit, you know, and just, you know, once you come to self-love, you won't ever tolerate anybody doing that again. But it's really something like I could see in the alignment of cards that your son basically has a very good heart and he's not really happy with what he did. He's not proud of himself. So, I mean, he's got that much of a conscience, you know what I'm saying? But but it is very hurtful. And maybe this is a good discussion for 2020. We can't always control what's going on in our head if we're depressed or have angry thoughts, but we can try to control what comes out of our mouth, please. And just what I just see for you is wonderful things and, you know, relax a little bit and, love yourself the way you love your children. You know, you don't let anybody hurt your son and don't let anybody hurt you.
You and I share the same birthday, Cindy.
We share the same birthday?
Yes, we do.
We have the 422?
Yep.
Wow. That's amazing, right? We have the same birthday. And it's kind of a hard lifetime for 422s. That's a pretty strong combination of numbers. And we have hard lessons to learn in this lifetime. And some of those lessons are that self-love and self-preservation. Your mom has passed away, by the way.
A long time ago, yes.
So she's been standing here and said, you were a very good daughter. Do you know that you were a good daughter?
Oh, thank you.
And that, you know, she is always watching over you and loves you. She's a little apologetic to you as well. Do you know what that's about?
No.
You know, she keeps saying, tell her I'm sorry. I imagine that she was witnessed the whole situation with your son and probably didn't love it, okay? And I don't think you would have ever talked to your mother that way because she looks pretty shocked by it, you know? And, you know, she said she's going to guide and watch over him. And
she loves him.
Oh, she adores him. She adores him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she absolutely adores him, but she did not love what she saw. And she was the one who kept telling me, he has a good heart. He's a good boy. You know what I mean? Like, you know she loves him. But, you know, she was quite upset by the situation as well. So talk to your mom a little more. She's around a lot. She says she likes being in Florida with you, too. She likes Florida.
Oh, good.
She's like, let's have fun in Florida.
Okay, that sounds good.
We'll call in again and let us know how things play out. And, you know, with your son, you know, stick with righteous anger. I love you, but that behavior is not acceptable. Your mother's saying he's, you know, she's able to register his thoughts. He's genuinely remorseful. Okay, like he's not happy with what he did. Okay, so, you know. Don't think he just did it and felt good about it because he didn't.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he did.
I know. I mean, and your mom just saying she loves you and she's throwing you some kisses, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to cry, Cindy.
Well, good luck to you and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you, Cindy. Have a good one.
Bye.
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 Okay, so we have a few people that you've screened up. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and I think Desmond's called in before from Ohio.
Yes, Desmond called in actually about a year ago, I believe he said. And, you know, he just wants to know what's in store with 2020. Nice,
when they call
nice
in this
broad
time of year.
Question there. Yeah, you know, just nice and broad. He just wants to know, you know, what is on his horizon. What can he expect this year, Cindy? So here we go out to Desmond in Ohio. Hello, Desmond. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Desmond. Well, I hope you had a good 2019. Did you have a good 2019?
I think it was okay. My 2019 was kind of full of lessons. It's like now I'm ready for the reward. So
I love that because that's what 2019 was supposed to be, a year of lessons to get people ready for 2020, which is supposed to be a good year if you've learned your lessons. Okay, and it certainly looks like you have. Your career-wise looks better this year for you. Are you happy with what you're doing right now?
Not right now.
Okay, and are you ready for a career change of some sort? Because it certainly looks like that's on the horizon for you.
Yeah, sure, I know.
Okay, so career-wise looks better, and I thought you had a relationship or something that was on and off last year. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And is that over with now?
Yes, it's kind of over. I mean, we're still friends, but yeah, it's kind of over though. The lesson was learned, and we're still friends though.
Okay, but would you like something more romantic at this point?
Yeah, if it's as long as it's not no more lessons, I can roll with it.
No more hard lessons. We don't want any more lessons through suffering. Would you like some lessons through love, peace, and joy? Because there's a lot of good lessons in love, peace, and joy. Okay, because you've got an unusual alignment of cards because there's a lot of big changes here, but it also opens up the world, a five-year period in which anything you want is yours. You just have to be a little clearer to the universe as to what you want and where you might want it to be going. It also looks like a very peaceful year. You had a lot of courage when you were young. Did you know that about yourself?
No, I didn't.
and you could use a little bit of that courage now because change is a little scary, but this is good change. You know, career-wise, it's definitely time for a change. You know, it looks like if you're going to not make that change, you know, it won't be a great year for you. But making that career change will make all the difference. So are you having any plans to do that?
I think I'm going to have to start my own business, like doing with herbs and try to combine that with, you know, Reiki, and I got to go to school for massage therapy. So I think that's I'm getting pushed towards that one.
Right, exactly. And the people that are going to survive in the new millennium are self-employed people because, you know, one donkey person who does the work of eight people has the ability to make some good money in a small business. And it's definitely that spiritual path. And it looks like through this spiritual work, you're going to open up some more of your soul group and meet some more people. So career-wise looks great. And, you know, love-wise is here. You sabotage yourself a little bit. You know that, you know, you have a little bit of an imposter syndrome. You don't think you're as good as you really are at things. So, you know, that's where the courage comes in, trying to, like, believe in yourself and have the courage to take some of the changes and do some of the changes that need doing. But it looks like a great year for you though, a really good year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I bet you'll be glad to finish up school, huh?
I would love it. Yeah.
It looks great. And nothing looks bad in your cards. Actually, everything looks quite good. So, you know, peaceful and, you know, the big changes that you're looking for. So there's a good time to call in again. There is a lot of change. Do you not like change?
I mean, I used to be resistant to change, but now I'm all for it now. Like, so I was already thinking about moving to, like, Georgia next year. So So I'm all ready for change now. I need to be by nature and sun. So I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, where it's, I mean, it's, I love my city, but it's just time to go, that's all.
Well, that's why I'm glad you said the move, because there's big changes, including a move in here. So and the move looks great. So all the changes here look fabulous and good. It's just like we were talking with the last listener. Just older souls don't like change. They like the devil they know. So when there's a lot of change at once, you know, it could be a little scary. But, you know, just have your muster your courage. Do it in spite of fear. And a year from now, you should be really happy with where your life is.
Okay.
So, you know, good luck in 2020 with you. And, you know, I love that you're into herbs and the spiritual, because it's a good career and it's a 21st century one. And we're sort of the first generations that are supposed to teach that spiritual things can be a legitimate career. So it's great that you're doing this.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for sharing 2020 with us.
Oh, thank you for the reading. I appreciate it. Looking forward.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye. Well, he had a lot of good things in his cards, that's for sure.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, that was lovely. That was like
and
one
once
of the
again,
reasons.
I love it when like the guys call too.
Oh, me too. And especially when he's doing this spiritual work and everything, that's amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
And he sounded
absolutely
much more
and, you know, and I remember Desmond last year. Like I heard his voice, and I did remember him from last year. So I'm happy
but
that.
But doesn't he sound much more
you know,
confident this year? Isn't he much
yeah,
more confident
bit,
this year?
Bit.
Yeah, I could see the changes in him. It's very exciting. But his alignment of cards was, boy, he's been working on that spiritual path and that lessons learned. And that's what 2020 is supposed to be, a good year for people who have learned their lessons or are learning their lessons.
Yep.
Supposedly not supposed to be a great year for the unfixables, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a little karmic, you know, reckoning here, you know. That would be good.
A little karmic justice.
Yep, that's what 2020 is for. Okay, so we have Pat, and in New York, is she the Pat that calls in sometimes?
No, different Pat. This Pat has called in the past, but, you know, she's going through a little bit of change right now in her 2020, Cindy. You know, she's been a bit depressed. She recently underwent some changes at work, and, you know, when she approached her boss about it, he was less than kind, shall we say. And now she's concerned about, you know, about what's going to happen, you know, with this job that she's had for 20 some odd years, you know, when he's making these changes and not holding up his end of the bargain. So,
and, you know, I know what Pat this is. And I'm not surprised because I had warned her that
Uh-oh.
Her boss is the kind of person that it's what have you done for me lately? And since he's probably
yep.
going to retire or move on, he doesn't really care what's happening
well,
to her. And she's a little bit shocked because 20 years working for someone's a marriage, you know what I mean? You've been there a
oh,
long
my
time.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yep, absolutely.
And,
it is.
And for him to have responded that way, I'm sure was very, very hurtful because she's been extremely loyal. But, you know, before we even put Pat on, I'm just warning people there are really not much loyalty between employers and employees anymore. And if you think there is, you're sadly fooling yourself. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's like this is a capitalist culture and it's all about the money. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, building security within yourself, like when Desmond was talking about his own business. So I sometimes say in the 20th century, you know, you might not survive in this millennium if you don't have your own company or something, because you will always watch over your own money and where it's going. When you
mm-hmm.
work for someone else, it's, you know, it's oftentimes, you know, if they could get someone to work for a nickel less or if they want to close up the business, they don't really think very much of you. So that's something to be thinking about. Anybody who's in a job that they're not loving, well, then move on. Find something that you do love, because life is way too short to stay at a job you don't like, and especially if it, you know, in the future, it might be proved to be very disappointing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to put Pat on and let's hear Pat tell her a little story.
Absolutely.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Pat. So what did you tell your boss exactly?
Well, no, this is what happened. You're correct. I mean, you read for me and you tell me
that I got to start to look. And what happened was he dropped a whammy. He's going to be spending more time away from here in Florida because he found a teaching position. And when he did that, that's one thing to digest, because he used to be going like just once a month to visit the family. And basically he worked all the other weeks. I mean, it was just like a long weekend type of deal. And I'm here holding down the fort and doing everything that I could. Now he drops a bomb that he found a teaching job. He may close up this practice. He changed my hours. This is what kills me. Because, you know, you fall into a routine. You have your own lifestyle. And now, even like if I want to look, it's going to be very hard, I guess, to go on interviews, but it's too damn bad. I think he may be surmising that I'm going to leave, because when he told me these were my new hours, I said to him, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't work like that. So very calmly, he looked at me in the face and said, well, if you can't do it, I'll find somebody else who will. And that broke my heart. So from hearing this, it was like early December till the end of the month, because he's not here now. He went away. He went to Florida to visit with the family. It was, the atmosphere was very thick. The tension, you could have cut it here with a knife. So he knows I'm not happy. And we did have some words. And I spoke to him earlier today. It sounded like he was very nervous. And I think he knows it's coming that I'm going to quit. Of course, I can't quit unless I have something else lined up.
Well, that's what, and I will tell you this. You know, you probably said way too much. Okay? Way too much. Because you can't quit, you know, but... You know, he could replace you, and then you could collect unemployment, but it looks to me like he's looking to replace you.
Huh.
So if I were you, I would just start looking for a job. If you got to take off to go do a interview, you do it. Because, you know, he's only a little nervous because he doesn't have anybody lined up just yet. But he don't think he won't replace you before you're ready to leave. And I know you don't like change. You know, you like the devil, you know, but you gave him too much information. Like, your best bet would have been to say nothing and keep, you know, make sure that, so he wouldn't be looking to replace you, and to look for something else. And as soon as you found something else, just leave. Like,
well,
you gave him, like, this is like, you know, when, like, you're getting a divorce. You can't give people all the information, and, you know, he thought you're the kind of person that doesn't like change. You know, you don't want to look for another job, and that you would just accept anything he said. And, you know, he's a little shocked you spoke up to him, but I wouldn't trust him at all. Like,
definitely.
If he finds somebody else, he's going to just tell you to take a walk.
Well,
and you have to watch what you say, because he could fire you for insubordination in New York, and you might not get your unemployment. So watch what you're saying now. You know, just watch your words. I mean, after you leave, you say whatever you want. But, you know, now don't think because there's 20 years between you that he won't do what's best for him. Now, he knew about this teaching job for quite some time, that
really?
He was going to be doing this. And
really?
Notice how he didn't say anything to you.
Yeah, that's why I was shocked. Because we're
right,
looking
till
for
the
a
last
buyer
minute
for the business.
Right.
And now he's making you feel like it's not certain. In fact, the other girl quit.
But it is certain. It's certain he's selling. And he's not telling you that because he wants you to just stay until he's ready to go. And then, you know, you'll be gone, and he doesn't care. Like, so it looks to me like he's pretty much got a buyer lined up. It's just a question of going through the closing and all the details of it. So I wouldn't trust
anything.
Well,
he made me feel the opposite, that he doesn't have a buyer and that he's
mm-hmm.
going to Florida to teach and spend more time over there, and that was it. So that's why I was shocked. And he said to me, I don't know anything for certain. I won't know until April. And he said, I'll give the owner the key because he'll have to break his lease. And that's it. And you could have wiped me on the floor, because he said no more practices. He doesn't want to have any practices. He just wants to go into a teaching mode. So here we are working, and nobody's coming to look at this place. I saw him reading a lot. I saw him taking notes and this and that. He did tell me that he gave a course, which some doctors do, but he never said anything else. So now I'm like...
He's not telling the truth. I wouldn't believe one word that comes out of his mouth. What I just saw here is he's just saying
what he thinks you want to hear, and he's doing everything he wants himself. And it looks to me like he might start teaching. It looks like he may start teaching in Florida. I mean, working a practice in Florida too, by the way.
Wonderful. And nobody knew nothing over here. P.S., he interviewed girls to replace the other one who quit. And he's telling her, I don't want somebody who's going to leave. I want somebody who's going to stay, you know, for the future, which is what he told me years ago when he interviewed me, because it was a new practice.
Yeah, of course he's going to say that, so you hear it too. You know, he wants to make sure that everything, because he's not near here. You know, he's in Florida now. He knows you'll run that office. You'll keep everything going because you've done it for 20 years. So he feels pretty safe. Like, he looks to me like he wants to sell it, so he wants to make sure the patients are all happy. Because if the dentist comes in or whatever it is and this practice is, you know, falling apart because he isn't taking care of it and there's no patients, that's not going to be a very lucrative deal for him, is it?
Of course not.
So he's just trying to make it, you know, you keep the ship running and everything good. And, you know, if he doesn't get the right price or whatever, he, you know, who knows. But the point is, it looks to me like everything he's saying is a lie.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had warned you that I saw that last year in these cards. I saw that this man was up, you know, that it looked to me he was going to close his practice or sell it or do something. And, you know, you have some time to go find something else. And you were actually thinking of doing it. And remember, the narcissists always think they fuck us over. But for a few years now, you've been wanting to get out of here. And pretty much what God does is force your hand now, you know, and a year from now, when you have a better job and happier, you're going to realize that it was for the best for you.
Right.
Because you've been so unhappy there for so long.
Well,
and
because it's quite abusive, you know, and
he
did that to the other girls in the other office too, because they had two locations. And recently I spoke to one, and she said to me, he was so mean. She said, I couldn't work for this guy anymore. And everybody that she trained quit after a day or two. Nobody wants to work for him. The man's an animal. I don't understand this. And yet he demands a lot. And, you know, you give of yourself, like you said, yes. Well, what about finding a new job? Am I going to stay in this field or do something else? Because sometimes I feel
like
throwing my hands up.
Well, right now it looks like if I were you, I'd find something as fast as I can. And that's usually staying in the same field for a while. You can always make a change after that.
Mm.
You know, you could put out resumes different places, but it looks to me like try to get something in your same field, because that would be the fastest move, and get out of there as soon as you possibly can, you know, because he's the type that's going to close in on a dime. Yeah, you could probably collect unemployment because he closed the business. But I don't want you having words with him so he fires you the week before he closes and then you can't get unemployment, because he'll say to New York State Unemployment that you were insubordinate or something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So just make nice nights with him till you get out of there, and don't let him know what you're
thinking. Find a job quickly. You know what I mean?
It looks like you'll find one, you know, pretty quickly. You know, it's a good time now to job hunt. It wasn't so great the last few weeks, but now it's like opening up.
And,
you know, you have a good, you know, you've been working in the same place for 20 years. You know, a lot of people that have, you know, practices will want someone like you. He doesn't, you know, come and go and move all around. So, you know, you should get one quickly.
Well, the only thing I worry about is my age. You know, I'm not 40. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it probably would have worked against you 3 years ago, but the millennials are not proving to be great workers. And
really?
People are starting to, you know, ageism is a problem in America. There's no doubt. You know, like people are too old and they don't want to hire us, so they say we're too old. But because the millennials are not proving to be great workers, people would rather hire someone older who they get a sense is going to be reliable and be there. So, you know, go in there and, you know, you are great at your job. And, you know, try to just be as positive as you can. I'm not surprised this is happening, by the way, because it looked to me for like more than a year this man's been – everything that's happening now, he's been planning for a year. It's not new here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like some spontaneous decision he came up with.
I like to blow his mind and leave beforehand. That's all. And yet I feel he's going to freak out when I tell him.
Well, too bad. You have to say to him, well, you made it plain and clear that the writing on the wall is my job isn't here and I have to protect myself. And the only reason he wants you there is, again, it looks to me like he does want to sell this, and you have to keep the patients happy, don't you? You can't have them all mad. If he doesn't have someone like you, like you've always, if your whole job has been schmoozing over things when he hasn't been so nice, and, you know, that's been your job, to schmooze the patients. So he just wants you to keep doing that until he's, you know, out of there.
Well, that's what I don't understand.
But don't be loyal to a man who doesn't deserve your loyalty. In other words, if you got a job tomorrow, you move on tomorrow.
Right. Well, you know what bothered me? He said to me, give these charts to these other dentists, give the key back to the owner, and I know I'm going to be penalized because the lease is up in November. It's like, you know, like, F them all. I mean, I was shocked the way he spoke.
Right, but you see, it's all planned. Can you see everything's planned?
Very nice.
This is not a spontaneous, you know, and you remember you were telling me he was saying he'll take care of you, and I was saying, no, he's not going to. He's not going to do anything. Like, he doesn't need anything from you anymore. So he's not the kind of person that gives you money, like, you know, a nice severance pay because you've helped him these years. He's like, nope, he doesn't need you anymore. So, you know, it's sad. It's very sad.
It's very
but what
sad
I
because,
see,
because he
you were so loyal.
He said to me, he said, and I told you I'm going to give you, and it's X amount of dollars. So I said to him, well, just think of all the interest. Had you been putting this in a pension plan or 401k all those years ago when you put your nieces in college funds? Why didn't somebody do something for me then? You saw I wasn't going anyplace. And he didn't
right.
answer me.
Also, he didn't put in writing that he was giving you that money, so it's useless.
Yeah.
You would have had to get it in writing. So,
any messages from anybody on the other side for me?
Well, your parents are like this. Don't worry. Bring us with you when you go on an interview, because dead people start popping thoughts in the interviewer's head. Hire her. She's good. So, you know, bring your parents with you. They will help you out, okay? And, you know, I'm glad you called in tonight because you kind of needed me to get you out of that state of denial.
Yeah.
Because you're a little bit in denial, you know, like, you know, thinking, you know, everything's going to be okay and, you know, he's not going anywhere too fast. You know, I needed you to realize, no, his plan is all set and underway, and it doesn't include you.
Okay.
And don't aggravate him, though, because until you're ready to leave, don't aggravate him.
I'll let you know when, well, God willing, I'll find something, you know.
Oh, yeah, you'll find something soon. Just try to get something in your field, you know, because that's usually the fastest way to get a job. I mean, you could look if it's something else you think you could, that's, you know, in a doctor's office or something you think, you know, you could translate your skills to. But you want to try to get something, you know, as fast as possible here, too.
Do you know if it'll be in Manhattan or Brooklyn, if there'll be a commute or anything?
It looks pretty much like Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's
somewhere.
Good. No, because that's where I live and that's what I've been, like, used to, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not seeing a big commute here. At all.
Oh, good.
So, you know, just, you know, start looking right now and you know, let us know and, you know, keep us posted. Like, I know sometimes you usually work in this hour, but he's not around, you know, so he's not around, so make a call, you know?
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly.
Right. And, exactly. Again, I'm sorry that on this reading that we had done, the reading I did on you not too long ago, I really did see this writing on the wall. And I know you wanted to believe he would take care of you, but are you beginning to see who he is, this man?
A horror, isn't he?
He's a horror. It's all about him. It's all about him. He doesn't really have much of a heart, this guy. You know, it's all about him and his money. And, you know, looks like the job you're going to get, you know, is a much nicer person, and you'll be happier working there. It's a happier environment. This is, but you work, you know, you've put up with it, but it hasn't been happy.
Exactly, yes.
And this place looks like a much happier, you know, place that, you know, that you'll be happier working there in general.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Well, thank you for your information, you know.
Okay. Keep us posted. You know, we're here for you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Nicole.
Good luck. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Now, Nicole, isn't it sad how with working, like, you know, people are so loyal and so good that they, you know, we sometimes just don't see the writing on the wall or who people are.
Yes.
And that's why the year 2020, let's just get the rose-colored glasses and the blinders off, and let's just see what's really there. And don't think because you're a
yep.
good person that everybody's good, because it's simply
hey, listen,
not the
if
case.
Anybody knows that, I do. You know, because I'm sitting in a position right now where, you know, where my company is not doing doing great, largely because of the decisions of, you know, upper management. And, you know, now most of those people in upper management are gone, and, you know, we're left with a big mess to clean up, you know. So it's very, very difficult, and it's very, very hard to earn, you know, trust back, you know, with employees and things like that. And, you know, it's come to the point where you really have to consider whether or not, you know, you've overstayed, you know, your welcome, or whether or not you're serving yourself, you know, your own dose of a karmic lesson by not having the courage to leave, you know. So, you know, like
yeah,
when we had my reading a couple of weeks ago.
Question was for you a little bit. Did you
oh,
think
definitely.
Some of the messages were there for you today?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because, you know, I mean, and it's, I think that what it is more or less just kind of reinforcing, you know, everything, because like I'm in a position like I'm ready to make my move, but I still want to be responsible, you know, so I'm not going to quit my job before I have a new job, you know, but I'm also considering changing fields. So because I'm changing fields, whatever, I have to get certain ducks in a row. So although I am hopeful that I will at least see my plan through and make it, to, you know, through Q1 of 2020 before I make my move, you know, I mean, I'm not dismissing the fact that at some point, at any point, that I can get royally screwed, you know? So I'm not hopeful for a long future there. I'm just hopeful to, you know, to get to my plans beginning.
Right. And that's exactly what I try to tell people. See the writing on the wall. And especially if you're not happy, and Pat hasn't been happy in her company for a long time, God, after a while, uses these people just to get us out of there. Like, let them move, go do something else, close up the business, because we really should have gotten out of there. And it's not good
mm-hmm.
for our health, a job we don't like, okay? And it's
yep.
also running a prostitute archetype, selling our soul for money, which we're
yep.
never asked to do.
Well,
and
that's
so,
what kind of sucks about me, is that I don't hate my job. I love my job. I love helping the people that I help. And, you know, I love learning new things and, you know, every single day. And, you know, I don't hate my job. I love my job. I hate who I'm doing my job for. And that's not to say that I hate the person. I hate his actions, you know, because I don't think that anybody really warrants, you know, my hatred at this point. It's select people, but not him. You know,
right.
but I mean, it's, you know, it's just that, you know, I don't like his actions. And I don't like, you know, at this point, it's kind of like you're on the Titanic. You know, and they're offering, you know, a lifeboat, and he's standing there saying, yeah, but what about my luggage? You know, so, it's, you know, it's like priorities, man, priorities, get on the fucking boat, you know, but, yeah, you know, that's kind of what it is right now. And, you know, and he's finding religion now, which is great, but it's likely too little too late. And, you know, I'm not very, very hopeful for that transformation. I am hopeful that I get to just show my value and stay in my position until I'm ready to leave it on my terms.
Right. And that sounds like a good plan. And, you know, also it looks like, you know, the sooner you do it, the better is what I just saw in the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay.
Like, don't, like, you know, say I do it next month. Like, start implementing your plans for the future.
Oh,
as soon as possible.
My plan is being implemented now. My
Good.
Plan is being implemented now, but where I'm going, they don't open up until March. Or where I'm hoping to go, the application process doesn't open until March. So I'm hoping I'm at least okay until the application goes in.
Yeah, you look like you'll be fine. Okay, it looks more like toward May, you would be like more up Schitt's Creek if you didn't start moving.
Oh, yeah, no.
as I'm sitting here on the radio show, I'm still making moves. So it's, you know, we're all good.
Okay, good. Because, you know, that's great. So now we have Terry. Has she ever called in before?
Yes, Terry has called in before. Terry actually called in recently. She was the one a few weeks ago, Cindy. She's in New York. She was called in a couple weeks ago. We couldn't get to her call right away. She was going in for some surgery. By the time she got back in touch with us, she had already had the surgery.
Oh, right.
And, you know, mm-hmm. she was a little bit worried about her financial situation and everything else. So here we go. Terry is out of surgery. She is doing well, thankfully. Her doctor does want her to continue to take it easy, though. She's collecting disability, but disability is not really that great. Not really a whole lot of money, so she's struggling a little bit right now, and she's unable to work, and she wants to know, do you feel it's a good idea for her to borrow out of her accident settlement account, or should she find some other sort of creative solution? So I don't know what Terry's cards are going to say. Hopefully you can pull some cards and let Terry know what kind of advice is waiting for her there. Hello, Terry.
Hello.
You are on the air.
Thank you. Hello, ladies. How are you doing
today?
How did
I do? Did I do good, Terry?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, it's funny because, you know, money issues are usually best dealt with a financial planner and not a psychic, by the way. But, you know, do you have a settlement already for an accident? Is it, you know,
Yeah, the price hasn't been, like, far as the amount, it has not been discussed as of yet. But I did borrow a cash advancement last month in December to help pay off some bills. And I'm trying to see, should I just do it again in January or should I just stretch everything out until I get back to work in February?
Well, you know, how much interest do they charge you on this or whatever?
It's pretty, it's almost like, because they only allow like 500 at a time. So it's the 500 plus you pay back 175.
So they charge you 175 for the 500?
Uh-huh.
That's ridiculous. That's usury. Do you
realize that? I know
that?
It is.
That's
totally
usury.
Ridiculous. But
I mean, that is like horrible. Okay. And, you know, you would be best to stretch it out because, you know, that's really taking advantage of you. I mean, if you can, look, mm-hmm. they're looking at, like, maybe you can't afford not to, like, you know, you'd be better off to put things on a credit card and then be able to pay off the credit card pretty quickly than to do this. Can you get a cash advance from a credit card?
I mean, I can still stretch it a little bit. As far as a cash advancement, I don't think I can get one. So I can stretch it. February is not too far away.
Yeah, try to stretch
it
if you could.
Yeah.
Only because that's like really disgusting to give somebody that kind of interest or, you know, because that's the word usury. And usury, excessive interest rates is what caused World War II. I'm never a huge fan of people paying excessive interest rates. It seems to me like exploitation and not good. And, you know, like, couldn't, you know, so if you borrowed two, you know, say you borrowed the 1,000 together, that's the two 500 each, that's paying $350 on $1,000. Isn't that a lot of money? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. To pay out. So, you know, in all honesty, if you got to pay them $350 and you're taking out another $500, all they're really giving you is $150 now at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you could, you'd be better off at this point to just stretch that money if you could do it. And
okay.
It looks like you can. It looks like you can.
Oh, good. Okay.
You'll be okay. You'll be okay.
Oh,
and
oh,
you'll be okay. Do you don't have any credit cards you could put things on that you need to just stall a little bit?
I did. I did that already. Okay, so I did that about a week ago, so I was able to manage. But it's just, I can, because I get the disability, but it's something, but it's not great.
No, of course, it's not going to cover all your bills,
yeah.
No way.
No, it doesn't. And what I did, I put my credit cards on hold until I get back to work in February, and I let them know that I'll start making the payments again in March. So I was able to successfully do that. So it's not too bad. I'm just wondering, that's all.
Looks like, you know, you could do it if you're, you know, when people charge you that much money, they're charging you that much money because they know you're desperate. You know, if someone's going to break your kneecaps, okay, I'm sure $175 is better than your broken kneecaps, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's just, it seems to me if you can get by, try to get by. If you can't, then you have no choice. But, I mean, you know, there's no friend that you have that could loan you $500 at, like, you know, or you could borrow from a friend, you know, that wouldn't charge you $175. I mean, $500 is not that much money. There's no friend or family that would help.
I can definitely do that.
You know, and I think, you know, if you told any of your friend or family that thing, they'd be like, what? You know what I mean? Like, That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, those people really, like, have a racket there, don't they? Wow, exploiting. But it does look like your health is looking better and getting, you should be able to go back to work, and then, you know, your finances will be back in order. But look how scary it is in America. You need an operation, like how quickly people can fall into debt. Like, if people keep borrowing and have to borrow at excessive interest rates, how are they ever going to get out of debt? You know, that's the sin of this, isn't it?
True, yes. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking about actually going back to work maybe toward the end of January, you know, so that way everything just flows. You know, I can get back to work maybe about 2 weeks earlier instead of the first. And
what did your doctor say?
I have to actually see him on next week just to see if he would let me do that.
Okay, well, ask. If your doctor says that's okay and you feel okay, then, you know, of course, that's good, you know. But if you don't, then, you know, you have to bear with it. And, you know, it's so sad, you know. I mean, and, you know, it just seems like people take advantage of people, you know, at moments of weakness.
I can't stand it,
And me neither. I mean, it's like, you know, charge somebody $25 or $50, but that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
It is.
It's a lot of money. Especially, it's not a lot of money for people who are rich, but obviously somebody who needs $500 isn't rich. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of money for the average Joe Schmo. So do us a favor and try not to do it if you can.
Okay, I'll hold off.
Okay, and keep us posted how you're doing, and let us know when you get back to work, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Well, have a happy new year.
You too. Happy
good
new
luck
new
to
guys
you.
Too. Thank you.
Bye.
You always get the best advice. Bye-bye.
Oh, we adore you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Now, Nicole, isn't that just terrible, that kind of interest rate on that? That is just like,
that's awful. It's crazy. It's nuts.
I mean, like when we open a bank, you know, I mean, like I'll open a bank, you know, come on. I mean, that's horrible, horrible, horrible. It's the same thing with credit cards.
Oh, no.
How people are paying 29% interest rates. That's absurd. It's just absurd.
And worse.
You know.
And worse.
And worse. And worse. I mean, that is just, I don't know. So let's see if we can get people to, like, try to figure out ways that they don't keep having to get paid so much interest, because that's what's really, really putting people in debt, where they can't even pay off these cards because the interest is so high. And I have a very sad story. One of my clients was 18, and you know, she didn't really have any parents because they had, you know, they weren't good. And anyway, she had to buy a car, her first car. And because she's a young girl, went by herself. And the car was really not new, and it was probably only about a $5,000 car. Well, fast forward 15 years later, when she's still paying for this old car, even though it doesn't exist anymore, the car, it cost her more than $50,000.
That's crazy.
That's absolutely nuts. $50,000. So, you know, that story, like, kills me, you know. And she ended up having to go bankrupt, and she felt terrible because she never wanted to do it. I go, look, you were put in a situation where you paid $50,000 for something that was only worth $5,000. that the car died 7 years and you're still paying 8 years later, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, that's a situation that maybe people will learn. Don't do that to people, you know what I mean, because there's no way they're going to be paying that off. So, you know, be careful with what kind of, you know, interest rate and what you're doing with you, because people can be so greedy, can't they? So greedy.
Yep. Well, that's why, like, you know, it's funny because, you know, you hear about, you know, all these people getting ripped off and things like that. And, you know, and even you said before, you know, well, we're in a capitalist society and things like that. But you know what? For me, if you didn't have capitalism, you know, you wouldn't be able to go into business for yourself. You know what I mean? You know, I mean,
right, exactly.
So we don't have a capitalist problem. We've got a virtue problem. We've got a moral problem.
And agreed.
You have
and agreed
people.
Problem.
Exactly. Because you have these people that are blessed with a system where you can, you know, use your own talents, your own mind in order to make a good living for yourself. You've got the ability to barter things within this system. You have the ability to save this in this system. And it's one of the only systems where you can start out with nothing and have, you know, and increase your holdings exponentially. It's the only system that could afford us that. But you know what? You've got so many corrupt people that lack virtue and lack morals that they make it harder and harder for those people to be able to realize that dream. You know, so I love it when you always tell people, you know, that they can just go and, you know, just work for yourself and find something and do it, because you know what? That is really your best bet. And just remind yourself every day that it's that corruption that is leading you to take these steps. And you know what? Learn from those mistakes and keep doing it, and keep doing it better than your predecessors, because you know what? Eventually, these people will burn themselves out, and eventually karma is going to kick some of these people in the ass. You know, okay? And we see it happening in bits and pieces, you know, to that elitist, to that upper class there, you know? We're seeing it happen, and now it's just time for us to continue to rise up and use our talents and, you know, and trust that, you know, we can turn this system into something good for all of us.
Exactly. And just, you know, it's just sad. And again, yes, you know, try to figure out what your gifts are. If you can work for yourself, of course, you know, working for someone else is an illusion of security. That check's an illusion of security. That job's an illusion. If you work for yourself, it's not an illusion of security, because you're watching the ship and you're reinventing yourself and changing and doing what you need to do to keep that business viable. So you're more in control.
Absolutely.
Of course, you don't have that paycheck every week, okay? And for some people,
they
get really scared. You know what I mean?
And you know what?
You...
Don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid to even seek a friend to help. If you have a friend that knows a little bit more than you, ask for their assistance. Ask for their advice. Absorb as much as you possibly can so that you can make the best decisions possible. Okay, don't just jump into it blindly, because that's how you're going to get in trouble. But you know what?
Right.
If you're willing to, and you're willing to learn, and you're willing to do all of the work in the background that it requires, you could make something great for yourself. You know,
exactly.
We're living in a world where you can find anything, just like these corrupt guys can do it. You can do it. You could just do a cleaner version of it.
Exactly. And so we're wishing everyone a happy 2020. And
happy 2020.
You know, we had quite a diversity of callers tonight, and thank you.
I know.
If we didn't get to you, call in next week, and we'll try to get to you.
Please do.
I'm so glad we did tonight's show, because I think the people that called in really needed a little bit of guidance tonight.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay, and there were messages for you, Nicole.
No more messages. We're good.
Yep. Good messages for you.
All right. Awesome, Cindy. Well, listen, I've missed you the last few weeks.
And
well,
I miss
you,
too, you my darling. And we'll be back
and
next
good night,
week.
Everybody.
Can't wait. Bye.